chapter 1, first step in globalization, text number 10. Taraham Javidasyami.
Taraham Javidasyami.
Mahapurushiko Bhavan.
Mahapurushiko Bhavan.
Yasya Sharadhatamashu.
Yasya Sharadhatamashu.
Shyamukunde Mati Sati.
Shyamukunde Mati Sati.
Tat.
That.
That. Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Te.
Te.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Abhidasyami.
Abhidasyami.
Shall recite.
Shall recite.
Mahapurushika.
Mahapurushika.
The most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna.
The most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna.
Bhavan.
Bhavan.
Your good self.
Your good self.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Of which.
Of which.
Swaradatam.
Swaradatam.
One who gives full respect and attention. Ashu,
Ashu,
very soon. Sya,
Sya.
It so becomes.
So becomes.
Mokunde,
unto the Lord.
Who wants salvation.
Who wants salvation.
Mati,
Mati.
Faith.
Faith.
Sati,
Sati.
Unflinching.
Unflinching.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. That Reshimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Srimad Bhagavatam is recognized Vedic wisdom, and the system of receiving Vedic knowledge is called Avalokapanta, or the process of receiving transcendental knowledge through bona fide disciplic succession. For advancement of material knowledge, there is a need for personal ability and researching aptitude. But in the case of spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple. Only then is knowledge automatically manifest before the student of spiritual science. The process should not, however, be misunderstood to be something like magical feats whereby the spiritual master acts like a magician and injects spiritual knowledge into his disciple, as if surcharging him with an electric current. The bona fide spiritual master reasonably explains everything to the disciple on the authority of Vedic wisdom. The disciple can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and a service attitude. The idea is that both the spiritual master and the disciple must be bona fide. In this case, the spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami is ready to recite exactly what he has learned from his great father Srila Vyasadeva, and the disciple Maharaj Pariksit is a great devotee of the Lord. A devotee of Lord Krishna is he who believes sincerely that by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one becomes fully equipped with everything spiritual. This teaching is imparted by the Lord Himself in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, in which it is clearly described that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and that surrender unto Him solely and wholly makes one the most perfectly pious man. This unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepares one to become a student of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Sukadeva Goswami is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Pariksit did. The professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the pseudo-devotees whose faith is based on one week's hearing are different from Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. Srila Vyasadeva explained Srimad Bhagavatam unto Sukadeva Goswami from the very beginning of the Janmadyasya verse, and so Sukadeva Goswami also explained it to the king. Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurush in the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 in his devotional feature of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself in his devotional attitude. Descends on earth to bestow special favors upon the fallen souls of this age of Kali. There are two verses particularly suitable to offer as praise to the Mahapurush features of Lord Krishna. Dhyanam Sakakari Bhava Kyanam Abhistadaham Tirthas Param Shiva Virinchi Nitam Saranyam Prithyarthi Ham Pranatha Bhava Bhava Bhikvatam Vande Mahapurushate Charanam Jagta Sudas Chaja Swipsita Jalakshmi Dharmi Staran Vajasadar Agar Alanyam Mayam Rigam Aidha Yipsitam Andalavat Vande Mahapurusha Techa. In other words, Purusha means the enjoyer, and Mahapurusha means the supreme enjoyer or the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One who deserves to approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is holy Mahapurushika. Anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attentively from his qualified reciter is sure to become a sincere devotee of the Lord, who is able to award liberation. There was none so attentive as Maharaj Parikshit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was none so qualified as Shukadeva Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. Maharaj Parikshit attained salvation by hearing only, and Shukadeva Goswami attained salvation only by reciting. Recitation and hearing are two processes out of nine devotional activities, and by strenuously following these the principles, either in all or by parts, one can attain the absolute plane. So the complete text of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the Janmadasavas, after the last one in the 12th canto, was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami for the attainment of salvation by Maharaj Parikshit. In the Padma Purana, it is mentioned that Gautama Muni advised Maharaj Ambarish to hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was recited by Sukadeva Goswami. And herein it is confirmed that Maharaj Ambarish heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning to the end, as it was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. One who is actually interested in the Bhagavatam, therefore, must not play with it by reading or hearing a portion from here and a portion from there. One must follow in the footsteps of great kings like Maharaj Ambarish or Maharaj Parikshit and hear from a bona fide representative of Sukadeva Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sapitamina Bhutale Swami Pakadamayam Tarachi Swapanikam Pancha Kalpatri Vishra Pasim Dubya Echa Patitana Pavnevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vastari Gopa Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Before we begin, I'll just mention that today on the calendar is marked as the incorporation of ISKCON, which happened in 1966. So I'll just read a little section from Prabhupada's Lilamrita, understanding the situation. So of course, you know, at this time, in the month of July, the so-called headquarters, if we could say, of ISKCON were 26 Second Avenue, and by then it was only Srila Prabhupada and his followers. By then they were still calling him Swamiji, and Srila Prabhupada had explained to them, even when he met that person in 1965, when he was sitting in the park explaining how he'd have temples all over the world and they'd be filled with so many devotees. That vision Srila Prabhupada had was very, very strong. So Prabhupada was on the lower east side, and the storefront was a very humble beginning for him and his sincere followers. Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, Sattva Maharaj would explain how he would laughingly say, "We shall name our movement ISKCON." And the devotees would ask him, why Krishna consciousness, why not just God consciousness? So Srila Prabhupada made the point that he did not just want a vague term, he wanted people to understand that the Supreme Person is Krishna. So he made it clear that the society would be the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And at this point, of course, there wasn't any initiated devotee per se, but it was people who were very fond of Srila Prabhupada, Stephen Goldsmith, Carl Jurgens, Jani, so many different devotees in their early years, of course. They would be the ones signing, putting their names down to register ISKCON legally as a non-profit tax-exempt religion. Of course, that required money and a lawyer, and all these new friends of Srila Prabhupada, all these new devotees were very much willing to help Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would give lectures explaining how so much of the world society is being cheated by so many cheating gurus, by so many philosophies, but he wanted to establish ISKCON as an authentic movement, as an authentic religion. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada called on these devotees. Mukunda Maharaj explained that they themselves, they did not know what it meant. They were just signing, putting their names down, not knowing that this was a desire that was stemming from Lord Chaitanya, of course, and the six Goswamis to propagate the Sankirtan movement. And Prabhupada had used the same framework that he had registered the League of Devotees in Jhansi. So, with the vision, Srila Prabhupada on 26 Second Avenue began his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he used or he engaged these young disciples in helping him establish the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So in that, Prabhupada gave them the understanding of these seven principles, the seven purposes, sorry, of ISKCON, in which the first principle is preaching, and the last principle, which he says is the foundation for all the other six principles, and that was printing and distributing the books that Srila Prabhupada had written and the previous acharyas. So Prabhupada was mentioning that not only is preaching our main focus, but also cultivating people and giving them the knowledge and understanding of Krishna. Preaching was a word that Prabhupada used often, and for him it just didn't mean distributing a book or distributing prasad, but it meant all the activities that come in between, in the middle of our chanting and our hearing, all our actions, they are all preaching. And therefore these seven principles are Prabhupada pushed as the framework for all the activities in ISKCON. So the first purpose, of course, was propagation or preaching. And then the last point, with a view towards achieving a purpose, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So this is the firm writings of Srila Prabhupada back then at that time in 1966 to establish ISKCON as a real and authentic society, so that people can take us seriously, so that the movement can go on even after we vacate, or even after we move on from this material world, that ISKCON will stand as a branch of the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very important day. We can read about this in the Lilamrita, chapter 19. The chapter is called Breaking Ground. We can read about how Srila Prabhupada was enthusing the devotees and explaining to them what his main purpose was in founding ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
The first step in God realization. So here, this is a response, of course, at the end of the first canto, Srila Maharaj Parikshit has asked a question which Sukadeva Goswami is beginning to reply, or is continuing to reply. What are the activities of man who's about to die? What should he hear? What should he speak about? Who should he worship? So in that sense, the second canto begins explaining the qualities of one who knows the tattva of Krishna, and one who knows the tattva of the living entity. So there's a whole description that is going on, the basic foundation of Krishna consciousness, understanding our place in relationship with Krishna. So in this translation, in the translation itself and in the purport, they mention about sincerity of a devotee of Lord Krishna. That the Srimad Bhagavatam that is being recited is being recited to Maharaj Pariksit, of course, and the sages that are assembled, because they are very, very sincere devotees of the Lord. And this sincerity is something that we can analyze in our day-to-day experience. In the Nectar of Instruction, Sri Rupa Goswami is explaining that our advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So sometimes we might stumble, or we might not be as perfect in our hearing, chanting, in our deity worship, etc. But the sincerity of heart is there, which means our desires and our inclinations to serve Krishna still remain strong, although the material sphere, which includes our body, our surroundings, might try to limit it. Our mind might impose different mentalities or different paradigms, but still, nonetheless, we still push on and have Krishna as the center of our life, have Krishna as our life and soul. So the sincerity is not something that can be bought, is not something that one can fake. When one is sincere, of course, Krishna sends help, and Krishna sends in the association of the devotees. We see Maharaj Pariksit's sincerity in wanting to know what the goal of life is, Maharaj Pariksit's sincerity in wanting to hear about Krishna. So his entire demeanor, his entire personality is showcasing his sincerity. So his sincerity is producing a humble mood, a mood of submission, which is a requirement for one who wants to be a disciple. So it doesn't mean that Maharaj Pariksit, of course, was a conditioned soul, for Jiva, etc. He's playing the part of a conditioned soul to instruct us on how to sincerely approach Krishna. And that sincerity to approach Krishna is seen when we associate with the devotees, the sadhus, and when we associate with Guru. I was listening to a lecture, Srila Prabhupada was saying, Guru and sadhu are one, because everything that they do is based on Shastra. Everything that they say is coming from Shastra. So when we're associating with the sadhus, with the Vaishnavas, we understand that what they are saying is founded on the principles of Shastra. Specifically, they're always giving us advice and guidance to always remember Krishna and never to forget him. Now, how we do that might be diverse ways with each individual. We might be engaged in different types of services. Nonetheless, it is all meant to make us remember Krishna and not to forget Krishna at any moment. Now, as in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and being instructed by Narada Muni, Narada Muni, Srila Prabhupada explains that Narada Muni was testing Dhruva Maharaj to see if he's qualified to receive further instruction about how to attain the Supreme Person. We understand that Dhruva Maharaj, in his social designation, came from a Kshatriya background. And Narada Muni gave him an instruction that was very much brahminical, just to test his response, to test to see how determined he was to attain Krishna. So in those purposes, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is the duty of the guru, the spiritual master, to test the disciple, to see what qualifications the disciple has so that he can deliver the Vedic imports accordingly. But if we give Krishna to someone who is not qualified, it is a disservice, as they might commit offenses towards Krishna, towards the holy name, towards Krishna's paraphernalia, etc. So it is important that we understand that in order to actually attain Krishna, to achieve Krishna, requires adhikar, it requires qualification. Just as to study whatever we're doing in any field, it requires qualification. And our qualification, of course, in bhakti, it's not any material facility, it's not any material resource, our degrees or our last name, our beauty, our fame. That is not required. What is required is this attitude of service, this attitude of wanting to hear about Krishna, and a sincere cry by a disciple to hear about Krishna. This is what is required. Eagerness to hear about Krishna. When a spiritual master sees that by performing devotional service and by our service inquiry we are making advancement, then he reveals Krishna within the heart. If what one points out is it is not a mechanical feat that the guru touches your head, you start shaking and convulsing, then all of a sudden the absolute truth is revealed to one. No, realizing Krishna, it is not based upon geographical or physical vicinity. You do not have to be next to your guru physically to make spiritual advancement. You do not have to always be in the physical vicinity. Bhakti can be practiced. The main aspect of bhakti, actually the most powerful form to perform devotional services, by adhering to the vani or the instructions of the great acharyas. Just as we have never had the physical association of the six Goswamis or Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, all the acharyas in the line, we do not have the physical association, but we have the association through instructions, through the vani that they left. And that is what keeps us going. That is what will build our qualification, how serious we adhere to the instructions given by our previous acharyas. That is what qualifies us to dive deeper into understanding the mystery of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And when the spiritual master, with his spiritual vision, of course, the spiritual master is a direct representative of Krishna. He is the transparent via medium. So everything, all the mercy that we are getting from the Guru, is a shower of divine love coming from Krishna. So the Guru is giving us Krishna. So when Krishna in the heart sees that already we are qualified, then he externally manifests as Guru and he gives us the association of the Vaishnavas. And we are guided in that way to make further advancement. So when verses like Yasya Deve Parabhakti Atava Deve Tato Guru, it means that when the spiritual master sees our adhikar or our qualification, gradually he reveals Krishna. Later on in this purport, it explains how we should be attentive and respectful to Srimad Bhagavatam. That we do not skip from canto 1 to canto 7 and canto 10 and canto 12. That is not a respective way of having darshan of Krishna. It is not a respective way of hearing the glories of Krishna. If great sages, if great pure devotees like Ambarish Maharaj and Maharaj Parikshit hear the glories of Krishna from canto 1 up through to canto 12, then it is certainly an instruction for us that we should also adhere to this gradual elevation of consciousness. Not that we try to achieve Krishna by our own intelligence and by our own means. That we achieve through the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is our vision into seeing these pastimes. Just as Uddhava, in the Uddhava Gita, this seminar is given out of somebody's Holiness Devaracharya Swami, and the title of his seminar was Vrindavan Through the Eyes of Uddhava. Well, we see Krishna, we see the Holy Dhamma, we enter into the Holy not by our own intelligence or not by our own strength, primarily by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We are so small. Yesterday Keshav Prabhu was explaining the meaning of the word Anu. We are so small and so insignificant that by ourselves, especially in the material domain, it is not possible for us to just elevate ourselves individually. We require some other source of mercy. And Krishna provides that. That's why we have the Sangha of devotees. but in the nectar of instruction, the Acharyas explain the activities that are good for us to make spiritual advancement. And one of them, of course, is to, you know, have these loving exchanges with devotees. And one of the attributes, of course, that destroy bhakti is association with worldly-minded people. So association is mentioned twice. So it is very, very important that we understand the power of association, the power of association we have with Srila Prabhupada in his transcendental purports, in his lectures, etc. So when the spiritual master with his vision sees this mentality of receiving teachings through our service attitude and through our submissive inquiry, then he reveals Krishna gradually to us. It doesn't only depend on us. So this submissive inquiry and service attitude shows our level of sincerity. That every single day we are performing our service in a humble mood, that we are inquiring from the Guru, we're inquiring from the sadhus how to better our service in trying to understand Krishna. Because as we serve Krishna and as we hear about Krishna and as we inquire about Krishna, gradually that understanding about Krishna, we get a little glimpse into the personality of Krishna. So both the spiritual master, as Prabhupada explains, and the disciple have to be qualified, they have to be bona fide. A spiritual master coming in disciplic succession has to know who is Krishna. Guru means one who is heavy with knowledge, one who is heavy with transcendental knowledge, means he has retained the gist of the Vedic literature, he has retained the essence of the Vedas, he understands what the goal of the Vedas are. So by doing that we can see his qualification, and the qualification of the disciple is his humble attitude to hear from the Guru and to execute the orders of the Guru. Because being a disciple means we are learning, we do not know. So when Guru instructs, when Guru gives advice, and we don't take it, we're indirectly saying, I know better than my Guru. We're saying, I know myself, I know what is good for me. Although I'm entrapped in the most immature nature, you are on an extremely elevated platform. You are seeing with spiritual vision. You can see what is best for me. You can see how I can advance. When we reject that, we're indirectly saying to Krishna, Krishna, you do not know how to take care of me. I know how to take care of myself. So hence, we analyze our hearts regularly and see how much am I being submissive, how much am I listening to the orders of Guru and Krishna. So the disciple has to have qualification, the Guru has to have qualification. A Guru is not manufactured, and he does not manufacture his Shastra. If someone does not belong to a disciplic succession, or he doesn't have a scripture to base his teachings on, he is not a Guru. Then where is his knowledge coming from? And this is happening, we see it all over the place. Srila Prabhupada was writing about these subject matters. Srila Prabhupada was writing about demigod worship so early in ISKCON, explaining how people are going to be attracted to the material aspect of trying to make spiritual advancement. They'll be attracted to bogus gurus because they lack that sincerity to actually attain perfection. They want to be cheated, therefore their eyes will become attracted to the false hopes of material resources. So when the guru is satisfied with the disciple, he allows the disciple to enter deep into knowledge of Krishna. And we can see in the entire Bhagavatam when Maharishi Parikshit continues asking questions, Sukadeva Goswami becomes enlightened. When Marjorie is asking, how is it that Krishna allowed the Yadavas to act in such a way, or why is that Maitreya is not instructing Vidura, but he's asking all these questions, which shows his attentive nature to his service, his healing service. So when when Sukadeva Goswami notices this in his disciple, he becomes very enthused and very pleased, and he continues. So this is the wonderful reciprocation that we see between the guru and the disciple, this enthusiasm of the disciple to want to learn to be submissive and hear is something that is very pleasing to the guru. Then he also reciprocates and gives more and more according to the level of the disciple. So there is always reciprocation. It's not that we're just serving the guru, we just serve. The guru also reciprocates by giving Krishna. So that is the qualification. When the spiritual master is satisfied with our eagerness, with our attentiveness, then he's also enthused to give us Krishna, because he can see the qualifications in our service attitude. So every step in bhakti, whether it's from Shraddha to prem, whether it's from our clearing stage to accepting a guru, etc., every step in bhakti requires adhikara qualification. Even Lord Chaitanya would exhibit how he discriminates when he relates or when he associates with different persons. For example, when Lord Chaitanya is meeting Ramananda Rai for the first time when they were bathing by the Ganges, Ramananda Rai arrives on his palanquin. Of course, Lord Chaitanya has already been there. And upon seeing each other, of course, Ramananda Rai is the Gopi Vishaka. That is one of Krishna's most internal servants, very intimate servants in the spiritual world. So as soon as they see each other, they go into complete ecstasy. Now, it is mentioned in those texts that Krishna Das Kaviraj explaining how Lord Chaitanya had to check his emotions and Ramananda Rai had to check his emotions, because there were people around who were not qualified to see that interaction. So internally they were bleeding with love and ecstasy, but externally they had to check it because some people were not qualified to even see that interaction. So even on the topmost level, we discriminate, we see who's qualified and who's not qualified to enter into the chambers of transcendental metals. So Lord Chaitanya was showing that even in his dealings, he would see who's qualified and who's not qualified to witness his pastimes. Even in the famous Veda Kirtan pastimes, where there was a brahmachari hiding in the house of the Srivasacharya, Srinivas, Lord Chaitanya could tell that there was someone in the house who wasn't qualified to be there. And he was brought out, and the word was saying, oh, he's such an austere brahmacharya. He's simple, he's a brahmana. He only has a palmful of buttermilk. And Lord Chaitanya says, this doesn't mean you'll attain bhakti. Bhakti does not depend on any type of renunciation. Bhakti is independent. So Lord Chaitanya himself was very strict. You have to be qualified to actually go deeper into Krishna and to witness and experience the highest understanding of the Absolute Truth. So adhikara is qualified. And another important point that is being made here is that gradually, as we follow these teachings of the Guru, as we serve nicely, our faith in Krishna increases. Right? And as our faith increases, we take to the study of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously. We do not become lackadaisical with the texts. We do not skip from here to there. And that is how, Srila Prabhupada says, that is how we show proper respect to Srimad Bhagavatam. That we treasure every single text as being spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is such a personality that in Krishna's pastimes, I was introduced by his holiness Shiva Ram Swami. In his pastime, Sukadeva Goswami and all the animate creatures in Vrindavan, after Krishna has left, they are chirping to one another, will Krishna come back, will Krishna come back? And everyone is thinking Krishna is not coming back. It is Sukha, the parrot, who convinces everyone Krishna will come back. Because Sukadeva Goswami, of course, in his, he would be flying to Krishna's palaces, seeing what Krishna is doing. He will come back and tell his friends, Krishna doesn't sleep at night, he's always thinking of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna will come back. So Sukadeva Goswami has witnessed all of Krishna's pastime. He is there all the time. What greater personality can elaborate on the descriptions of Krishna rather than Sukadeva Goswami? And he teaches us this mood of wanting to understand Krishna, tasting Krishna, although he's already liberated, still he comes and speaks about Krishna. Gradually he takes us from canto 1 to canto 12. He's teaching us how to meditate on Krishna. So this respect we offer to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with an attentive mood and from the right person. A person in line with the parampara of Sukadeva Goswami, of Srila Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, Brahma. We come in that line because only in that way are all the contents and all the nectar of Krishna going to be revealed properly to the recipient. So hearing from the right source is also important. You do not hear mechanically from persons who make a living out of reciting Bhagavatam for a week, etc. You do not make a living out of that. And that is hurtful to the ears. That is not like nectar to the ears. So there has to be an ideal reciter, ideal hearer. They have to be qualified. And they have to be in line with parampara. This is important. We have to read Bhagavatam from cover to cover, over and over and over again. Year after year, decade after decade, we can read Bhagavatam and we can exact everlasting bliss from hearing the same subject matters over and over again. They're very relishable. So by taking so seriously to Bhagavatam, we become very fearless. And that fearlessness is what's being explained by Kapila Dev, is what is being explained by Prahlad Maharaj. It is being explained by Lord Rishabdev, by the Yogendras. So many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining this aspect. We become fearless when we put ourselves under the umbrella of Krishna. That is how we become fearless. We will not be affected by the crocodile of material existence that is biting us in the waters of suffering. Gajendra was in an unhealthy situation. He was in the material whirlpool and he was being bit by the crocodiles of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So it is not possible for him to actually attain any type of success in that situation unless and only until he surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna. That is how Gajendra was liberated. So unless and until we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we will never become fearless. So this fearlessness gives rise to strong faith, strong desire to hear more and more about Krishna. So we see Maharaj Parikshit in this pastime. He is showing his fearlessness. He has gotten rid of family, a beautiful wife, treasury, and he has just accepted shelter at the lotus feet of one who has Krishna. The lotus feet of Sukadeva Goswami. And in that way, he is attaining fearlessness. He's attaining his true natural identity, completely separate from the material modes of nature. I'll stop then. I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
Can you elaborate more on submissive inquiry, what that means?
Submissive inquiry means the internal mood that we try to find out how to improve our service, whether it's to the guru or it's to the Vaishnavas around us who engage us in service. So we approach with a humble mood, which means we listen, we do not go there to defeat and challenge. Sometimes we can ask a question in a very challenging way, say, well, how about we do it like this? But a submissive mood means you understand, I am to be instructed. I'm coming to you, I am to be instructed, and that is my mood. So even when we look at the picture in the Bhagavatam of Parikshit Maharaj instructing Sukadeva Goswami, even the posture itself, Maharaj Parikshit is kneeling down. In yoga, this asana is called, it portrays humility, that you're a student, you want to hear, you're being submissive. So submissive inquiry means you are allowing yourself to become instructed. And only on the bed of humility can you actually learn anything. If you're not humble, you do not learn. Because you think you know everything already. So even if you're asking questions, if internally you're thinking, I know this, you will not grow. So submissive inquiry means we accept, I'm a student, I'm here to learn, and I'm approaching person A, B, C, so that they can instruct me. It has to be an internal change that we accept, I'm a student, I'm learning. He was referring to his book Krishna Sangati, pastime of Krishna in Living Vrindavan. It was a very old one. After Vainugita, it was Krishna Sangati in Naparyaham. That was the one he was speaking of. Love reading Bhagavatam?
Well, yes.
To love doing devotional service.
To love doing all those things, because you know this is sort of something that's left out of this conversation. It's actually the love of Krishna, the love of doing these things.
Even if we do something mechanically, especially in devotional service, you do get some benefit.
Yeah.
But if you want the real fruit, you put your heart into it. And how do you put your heart into a relationship? This is a relationship. You put time and effort, you understand why you're doing and what you're doing and why you're doing it for. So you have to be educated about Krishna, the person Krishna. So hearing about Krishna and his pastimes and his personality will convince you and will create the change in the heart to continue hearing about him. Whether it's through his external energy, whether it's through the marginal energy, the pastimes of Krishna's devotees, it will incite a mood in us to like doing what we're doing. You can only develop attachment for Krishna if you know about him. You become attached to your wife or to your husband because you have a relationship with him. And the process of developing a relationship with Krishna is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pranam Singh. You know, the entire nine processes of bhakti. That is how you develop attachment. And with that attachment, you will develop taste and love. It is a scientific thing. You don't just develop love overnight. There's a scientific process. And that scientific process begins with Shravanam Kirtanam. That is how you develop love. Not by intellect. Prabhupada mentioned the poverty.
Love is an affair of the heart.
Yeah, love bhakti is an affair of the heart. It is not by any intellectual scheme that you will get love for Krishna. So many people have written, professors, they have written about Krishna, but there's no love. So you have to perform Shravanam, Kirtanam, and the other angles of bhakti to produce that love. It's already there in the heart, but you have to cultivate it. And that cultivation begins with hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's the process. Yeah, if you hear and chant about someone, you will fall in love with them. Just as people are always looking and searching after their dogs and puppies, they love their dogs and puppies because that's all they think about, that's all they do. So if you're hearing about Krishna all the time, you chant his glories, you hear about him, you hear about his devotees, you'll like this person and then you will love this person, and then everything that you do in unison is going to bring about more and more attraction to hearing about this person. The more you hear, the more you want to chat about that person. The more you speak about that person, the more you want to chant their glories. It's ever increasing. So developing this love, putting our heart in, requires that we cultivate our hearing and chanting. That's the beginning. That's the science.
You don't accept the spiritual master's instruction and you think you know better, but sometimes we can't fully surrender to Krishna, so we're still sort of accepting it, but maybe we're finding it hard or something like
that. We're finding it hard, or it's because the spiritual master might instruct us on something that we might not like. So we can, we can do it out of duty. I'm doing it because he's my guru. But gradually over time, as you try and sincerely put effort into following that instruction, at the same time, you don't stop with the service, it continues. Krishna will allow you to understand why that instruction was given to you. So many times it has happened, I'm sure to most of you, you get an instruction and you do not think how on earth it's possible for you to follow that instruction. But because you keep it in the heart and you keep meditating on it, you keep trying, eventually it will hit you. This is actually good for me, I understand why. So the trick is to not cut it off and stop, I can't. Is to sincerely make an effort. And then gradually the super soul will give us that knowledge. That's the role of the super soul. Right? It reminds us. Krishna says, I give you knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So sometimes we're forgetting the importance or the potency of the instruction, but if we adhere to it, keeping our sadhana, continue with our service, Krishna will give the remembrance, this is good for me. He will give the intelligence, this is good for my devotional service, yes. Even if it takes 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, it is bound to happen. But we have to show Krishna by sticking to the goal. We have to still continue. And not just throw the baby out with the water.
It's like a bit of a cop out. You might think that we're rejecting the instruction, but it's just like...
We're being tough kids. So we're being spoiled, you know, the...
Spoiled brats.
Like your mom says, and then you're like, meh! You know, you pull a face and you think, oh, mom doesn't know, she's never been a teenager. But then after some time, like, actually, mom knows what she's talking about.
True.
More often, when you get older, when you have your own family or whatever, then you understand why your mother and father were the way they were. Because now you're in the same position. And then your realization changes. Okay.
Strong faith.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, it's strong faith, what you're saying.
Strong faith.
Yeah. That will bring us closer to Krishna.
Jai, strong faith in Krishna and bring us closer and closer. Pranjana Shiva Bhagavatam.